He said no man would listen to a woman on a baseball field. And I can't even believe I remember those words, right? Because you never think, why would I remember those words? But somehow you just do, and it like pierces your heart. I just walked away from him very embarrassed. But then I started thinking, how do I make a plan?
Hi, my name is Mina Kim, your host of The Click Line. I've worked on Wall Street for over 14 years. Then I built out Orange Theory Fitnesses and sold them to a private equity firm. And upon that exit, started investing in women and minority startups, as well as advising women who are getting through divorce with financial consulting and strategy.
Hey guys, you know what's the best way to get in touch with your friends? Sharing an episode of the Click Line podcast. So don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the episodes, and let me know what you think in the comments.
Welcome to today's episode of the Click Line podcast. I am so honored to have Dr. Justine Siegel here today. She has a PhD in sports psychology. She's become the first woman to coach for a Major League Baseball organization, the Oakland A's, and to throw batting practice for an MLB team in spring training. That's the Cleveland Indians. And she coached for Baseball United, which was the men's professional baseball league in the Middle East and South Asia. Off the field and onto the screen, she's also been a baseball coordinator for a league of their own. Justine is giving back to the next generation with Baseball for All, a nonprofit she founded to create access for girls to play, coach, and lead in baseball. She's an inductee of the National Women's Sports Museum, has been named an Everyday Hero by ESPN. Her A's hat is in the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, and her jersey is also in the Smithsonian because, you know, she's a big deal. Lastly, but certainly not least, Justine co-founded the Women's Pro Baseball League, which we had spring training last week with the Boston Red Sox and officially launches August 1st of this year. Welcome to the Click Line podcast, Justine.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so honored for you to be here. I'd love to hear about your background, where you grew up, and how, you know, you got started in baseball.
I spent most of my youth in Cleveland. That's where I say I'm from. That's where I am right now. And I honestly started in baseball like everyone else, you know, T-ball. And then I kept going. I think the only real difference is that I was often the only girl playing. And, you know, even though I was better than my brother, I was the one who was told I should quit because I'm a girl. So, you know, there's a little ruffles to the story. But, you know, I loved playing baseball. My grandfather used to take us to Cleveland Guardians games. And, you know, you would just eat everything you can and get a souvenir and just be with my grandpa. So I just have really great memories about baseball.
Amazing. And so I also had an older brother, so I always played every sport one-on-one. So I know how that is. And so when you're growing up, as you're getting into like your 13, in your teen, tweens, you continued to play Little League. Is that what it was? And you just really found this passion for baseball that you didn't want to quit?
Well, honestly, my dream was to be a professional soccer player. And I played soccer all the time. I went to soccer camp all the time. And I even practiced my autographs once just in case I became a pro soccer player. But what happened is I was about 13 and I got a new baseball coach. And he said, you know, I don't want you on my team. Girls play softball. And even then I knew, like, that's wrong. Like, that doesn't sound right. And so I decided, like, I have to keep playing. And I have to keep playing baseball and I can't quit. And, you know, I got to prove them wrong. And sort of the more I held on to the game, the harder I had to work, the more I loved baseball. And so I kept playing baseball and I did play soccer, but it shifted my focus of being, you know, I had to put all my energy to baseball to survive.
Right.
And so I don't know. I never thought it would be my whole life, but I definitely went uphill as I was trying to find a playing opportunities.
And so what did you do in college then? Did you also play baseball?
So I played baseball in high school. And then I went to college where they had a no-cut policy, as I understood it, and they cut me. I played soccer there as well, and then I changed colleges for another school. I changed colleges because I wanted to study sports. I realized that at the time. So there, you know, I played fall ball, but I didn't really have a shot at the team. I did actually make a professional women's team with the Colorado Silver Bullets for a moment. I went to spring training with them, but I hurt my arm, so I didn't get to fulfill my lifelong dream of being a professional athlete. You know, I think that without the pain of not making that team because I was injured, not because I wasn't good enough, mm-hmm. I think that pain, you know, it allowed me to pause and kind of build something from it, if that right. makes any sense.
Yeah.
If I had just, I think all of it, you know, that was just the culmination of the pain from the struggle of trying to play baseball and then just to get injured, you know, to take that pain and build something. I think if I'd gotten what I wanted, I would have just sort of went off and probably been a college soccer coach because I would have just been satisfied, right? Instead of
right.
this hole that you live with.
Yeah. And then that's what you're, you know, fulfilling for the rest of your journey, basically, and what you're doing right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see myself still like upset about not making that team, but it allowed me to pause as a young person. And frankly, I had my daughter in college. So when she was born, I was able to see what was possible, right? That light bulb moment where it's like, it's not just about me and what I want and how I play. Like, I can build something better. And so I started building. I was 23 and I started building.
It's amazing. And so how did you get recruited by the MLB to come and coach for them?
Well, I had wanted to be a college coach since I was 15, 16, and I told my own coach that I wanted a coach like him, and he laughed at me. And he said, no man would listen to a woman on a baseball field.
Mm.
And I can't even believe I remember those words, right? Because you never think, why would I remember those words? But somehow you just do, and it like pierces your heart. And I just walked away from him very embarrassed. And then I started thinking, how do I make a plan? How do I make a plan to become a coach? And that's why I have a PhD. I got it strictly so I could break, you know, boundaries. And if I can't play Division I baseball, then I can at least out-educate most of the men who are applying for these positions. And so I started learning how to coach right there while I was 15 and started learning other positions. And then eventually I became a college assistant baseball coach with Springfield College in Massachusetts, where I was the only woman coaching in the country. And of course, men will listen to women on a baseball field. You know, obviously there's a little bit of like hesitation when you walk on, but then in the end, they just care whether you can make them a better player.
Right.
And you know, do you care about them as people? Can you help the team win? That's ultimately what they care about. So from there, I then got the opportunity to coach indie ball with Brockman Rocks, with Mike Beck helped me get that opportunity. And then then I threw batting practice, Major League Baseball. That took about a year convincing different teams. And then I asked Billy Beane if I could come coach for the A's. And I asked for 4 years. And finally, in the fourth year, he said yes.
Wow. And
it was just instructional year. It was the instructional league. So it was really 10 days, but it was like a lifetime culmination of effort to get to that point because it took so long just to get through the door.
Oh, that's amazing. And you're such a trailblazer for all of the ladies who are playing now and all the little girls who are watching on TV and are going to watch this league come into formation and on globally. So thank you for doing that and being really a trailblazer for baseball and for all industries, really, to break through all those barriers. It's not a small feat. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I don't think I think we all have an underdog story, right? A common underdog story. We were told they can't do something or, you know, so to me, my story ended up in the baseball world, but we have many beautiful stories of people overcoming and becoming the first.
Yes, definitely. And you know what struck me at the spring training with the Red Sox was how fast these girls were pitching. I don't think I was fully aware. So, so the audience knows, what is the range of speed that the girls are pitching?
Well, the women pitch maybe a bigger range than the men do at the pro level, meaning we go from 85 down to about 75, 72. And when you're at 72, that means you're probably a junk ball pitcher, right? You got five pitches and you just kind of hit the corners of the plate. And then obviously you can rely on a fastball at 85, you know, and throw in your slider or whatever your second and third pitch are. So, I think a lot of fans are not realizing how powerful our women players are and how far they can hit the ball and just like the aggressiveness of the play.
Right.
Because like I told you my story about being told I should quit baseball and play another sport. So many of our players have still been told that. While they have more support now, 30 years later, they still have had that story in their hometown. The pitchers are more or less at this point like 94 to 101.
Oh, wow.
You know, it used to be lower, actually. 92 used to be sort of an average fastball, but as time passes, players are getting stronger.
Yeah.
So, and you're seeing that with women, that 5 years ago, you didn't have as many women throwing 85. And now with the proper training and opportunities, they're just starting to throw faster. And I'm sure we'll see a woman throw 90 in the next 5 years.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing to see.
I'm sure it will be at the WPBL.
I'll sign her. 200% sure it's going to be at the WPBL. And so when you're looking at a player, what do you think separates the good player from the great player?
I think there's something inside of you that like just can't lose. You know, there's an element of just, I want that ball. I'm going to do anything I can to get that ball. You know, it's almost like a mentality of just, you have to give everything you have and you are focused all the time. I think that's what makes a great player. It's someone who can work when people aren't watching them and they come into mm-hmm. the game just knowing they're going to have, you know, the best competitiveness they can bring out of themselves. And it helps when you're big and tall to hit power, but you also see some of the smaller women, you know, and when your mechanics, your movements are right, you can make the ball fly regardless of your size. And that's one thing that people love about baseball is that it kind of fits all bodies. There's great right. things in every body type. And so I think that's a good one.
Yeah. Did you have any rituals or superstitious things that you always did before a game?
You know, I worked really hard not to have superstitions just in case I didn't do them. But I will say, you know, I put my socks on first before my pants. I don't know if that makes a difference. Huh. I always put my socks on and then my pants. And when I was coaching and my daughter was young, about 11, 12, 13, she used to kiss my arm, like my throwing arm. When I was playing, I was coaching.
Cute. Uh-huh.
So that, you know, a little extra power in the arm.
Yeah, that's cute. I love that. So tell us about what you're doing for Baseball for All. I saw a stat, there's been over 100,000 girls in this program, which is amazing. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, I'm super proud of our nonprofit, Baseball for All. I founded it. It is what it is now is what I started when I was about 23 years old. And it had to grow, right? First, it was a women's league. Then it became a one-team girls team that played with the boys. And then I realized that if I can start a girls baseball team, then I can teach you how to start a girls baseball team. And so we held the first National Girls Baseball Tournament in 2015. And now there's girls baseball around the country. And we've just been able to sort of spread the word that girls want to play baseball, but also show that girls play baseball. And one of the cool things is that, you know, 30% of the WPBL has worked within Baseball for All, they've either played or they coached. Our number one draft pick, Kelsey, played with baseball for all. So, yeah, it's pretty heartwarming to see us be able to help teens get opportunities in baseball, but then sign them as women for professional baseball. That's such a great 360 cycle.
Yeah, that's so cool. And so how many teams do you have in baseball for all?
Well, we don't really keep the teams, but I can tell you that this year at our big national tournament, we're expecting about 800 girls.
Wow.
From all over the world. And we also run leadership programs as well. We have a junior coach development program so that the girls can, our girls, you know, we tell our players that they're never too young to lead, you know, that they are never too young to make a difference. And so, you know, in return, they're picking up that they want to be a coach too. They want to be a role model. And so we started this coach development program so that they're actually getting skills to come coach instead of just being there, which is wonderful. They also know what to do in a safety situation or what's their coaching philosophy and preparing them for the next level. So it's really fun. If you come to our tournament, you'll see Team USA players come and, you know, help run our merch table, you know, just because they're coming back and they're giving back and they're signing autographs for kids, which will now be WPBL players.
That's awesome.
So it's really wonderful to see everybody as a community, and you grow up and you come back to the community in a new role. And that's how we've been growing.
That's awesome. When is that tournament?
Our tournament is July 19th to the 25th in Rockford.
Great. And how can people donate? Just going to your page, baseballforall.com?
Yes, and you can donate, and the funds go straight to the girls and to the girls' programming. I'll give you an example. In April, we have a college club championship because there's no women's baseball at the college level. And so we created a club program, and we're having our championships, and we don't charge those players anything to come participate. And so it's an opportunity for college students to not only learn leadership skills about how to build a program, but also just to come and play and enjoy each other in the game.
That's awesome.
Donate, that's what you're supporting. You're supporting leadership programs, the opportunity to play, and creating awareness that this is our sport too.
That's awesome. And so coming to WPBL, the Women's Pro Baseball League, that is starting this year on August 1st in Springfield, Illinois. How did that come about, the formation of the league?
Well, this has been my life's work to grow girls and women's opportunities. I've done it in so many different roles. And I was really fortunate when my co-founder, Keith Stein, was looking for a partner to, you know, bring together the women's side. He had obviously a lot of business acumen, and he knew what he was doing, but he also wanted to have someone in the community. And I was fortunate he thought of me and he called me up. And of course, I said, yes, I'd love to build this with them.
And so starting out this year, how many teams will there be and what is their format?
This year for our inaugural season, we have four teams that represent four different cities, San Francisco, LA, New York, and Boston. But we are playing in one spot in Springfield, Illinois, which is really common for emerging leagues to for their first year, save resources and be in one spot. Mm-hmm. And the teams will play like a 36, 38 game season, going from August 1st to about the third week in September. So it's going to be super exciting, a lot of baseball. You can come Wednesday through Sunday, you're going to find a game.
And how many innings will there be?
Yes, that's a good question. I get asked a lot about how is women's baseball different than MLB. And for us, it's we play seven innings. That's something that came from the Women's World Cup. So we play seven innings. We use aluminum bats. And that's kind of it, you know? We're going to bring the fences in a little bit. Not because we can't hit far, but, you know, it's much more exciting to have 3 to 5 home runs every game. You know, if you hit the ball 330, we want to see that out of the park instead of a fence at 375.
Got it. And the specific stadium you're playing on is historical, right?
Yes. And the Springfield area is actually very historical. You can not just come catch a game, but you can also go to the Lincoln Library. and learn a whole lot about it. You might even spot Abraham Lincoln walking around, because I've been there once and I spotted him already.
So. The ghost of him?
I think he's a real guy.
He's still alive. Yeah. And so the Springfield Field is also where A League of Their Own originally played as well, right? Well, what A League of Their Own was based off of.
Yeah, I believe that they had a team there. The League of Their Own stopped playing in 1954, and they had not just a pro level, but they also had like a development level as well. So throughout the Midwest and even in Cuba, they would do spring training in Cuba. Something people didn't know.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. Wow. How come Cuba? Do we know?
Probably inexpensive.
Yeah.
Warm.
Interesting. Okay. So, you know, as you know, the name of the podcast is the Clickline Podcast. And so I ask every guest, when was there a moment personally or professionally that things all of a sudden click for you? And I'm sure you have many, but one that stands out for you.
I mean, I really remember looking at my daughter, who was just a little baby, and thinking, if she wants to play baseball, she has to do it without the discrimination I faced. And that was really the push I needed to see what was possible for the next generation. That was that big moment. And I don't know when I would have gotten to that point if I hadn't had her at an earlier age, because I think I would have probably just kept playing baseball somewhere, you know, and just living my young adult life.
Right.
So that was a moment. That was definitely a big moment.
That's amazing. I love that. You're such a legend. You're a GOAT. You're an inspiration to so many girls and ladies all over the world. So thank you for being with us today on the Clickline, Dr. Justine Siegel. And I can't wait to see you out at the next spring training event on August 1st in Springfield.
Yeah, thank you for all your support in making the league possible.
Thank you so much.
Don't forget to send in your questions and comments to the Clickline. And one more thing, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. Please consult with qualified professionals for advice related to your specific situation.